Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in dust 'cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say you better.
Good morning, America. Some of you are doubtless surprised to find us here on this day hosting a sports talk radio show. Given the state of emergency that prevails across our country. We will, of course, break in live when the president addresses the country on this status of emergency. There are days you just remember. For one generation, it was where were you on Pearl Harbor?
Mm-hmm.
For our generation, where are you on 9/11?
Mm-hmm. JFK.
JFK, another. And then the day when the president declared a state of emergency, given the way that we are being, let's be honest, overrun. And I pondered staying home with my shotgun and my dogs. And then I decided, you know, if we don't do this radio show, Jeffrey, the politicians will have won.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are.
We can't have them winning.
We certainly cannot have them winning.
Nope.
Right? You cannot let the politicians win.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are here. We will, of course, keep you up to date despite the dangers.
Mm-hmm. Slight update.
Yeah.
It is the Democrats' top priority is blocking this national emergency declaration. So it looks like, Jeff, it looks like we've got, they're going to play a little defense.
Communists. Pinkos. Anyway, so we'll break in when the emergency, traffic seemed relatively normal given, I think it speaks to the courage of Memphians, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what they say about Memphians?
Mm-hmm. We can't drive.
Well, they do say that. They say we certainly can't drive in mm-hmm. the snow. They say we can't drive generally.
Mm-hmm.
They say we're bad at customer service.
Our fast foods, I think we can all, listen, if we're going to be mirror people here, and sometimes the great ones have to look in the mirror,
yeah.
I think we can agree that our fast food service compared to—
Among the worst in the country.
Yeah. When you go to other cities for fast food, you realize like—
Not always. Not always.
No, agreed.
We're wild.
But you got to admit, nationwide, we are not at the top.
I don't know that we're at the very tippy top of customer service.
I don't think we are.
I don't think we are. It's funny. People say we're bad at pothole repair as a city. I actually
think that's nationwide.
That's And not only that, it's much worse in a place like Buffalo. Like, we don't even know how to make potholes here, I'll be honest with you.
L.A. is as bad as I've ever been around.
So I'm not buying that one. But what they say about Memphians, what I was getting to, is we don't bluff.
Yeah,
and so despite the state of emergency that prevails across our great land, we're out there driving and doing our thing. Mm-hmm. And it fills my heart with pride.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't going to be scared off today.
Mm-hmm.
There was no way I was going to be scared off today. Not when I could come in and talk about sports for a living. Not when I could talk to Chris Harrington at 10 o'clock. He's going to be joining us at 10 o'clock. Gee, things did not go well in the whole conveyance thing.
It turns out pray and convey, we need to really emphasize the pray.
Convey is such a crappy slogan anyway. Is there a more boring word than convey?
That's a pretty—I was actually thinking about it the other day.
It's about the worst. We're down to convey.
It's technically an action verb, but can you think of a more passive action verb?
No, it's just here, have
it's
it.
It's just hope.
Yeah, it's so it was a bad night on the conveyance front.
It's not great.
As New Orleans beat the Thunder.
Yes.
And Orlando also wins.
They did.
This is a hideous night on the conveyance front, but we'll talk to Chris Harrington about that. We'll talk to him about the All-Star festivities. There are Grizzlies, not actual All-Stars, but there are Grizzlies at the festivities, including Jaren Jackson Jr. in the Rising Stars Challenge, right? That's tonight, Rising Stars. And then Mike Conley's going to be in the skills competition. And he's still a Grizz. So, and then, of course, the All-Star game itself. So we have plenty to talk to
for now.
Chris Harrington about. Jason Smith's going to come rolling in here, I presume. I'm going to assume everyone's dealing with this emergency in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been in contact with them. I have not, I don't like to clog up the public, the phone lines at a time like this.
Yes.
And so I haven't reached out to them, but I assume they're both filled with courage. American heroes, really, Jason and Chris. And so I assume they'll be with us at 9:25 and at 10 o'clock, respectfully. Before we do that, there is news that we will also get to today. Someone asked me specifically, will I talk about the Colin Kaepernick situation? And yes, I will. Not now, but I will. Colin Kaepernick was evidently offered, or the American Alliance of American Football reached out to him and Tim Tebow and asked him, inquired about playing, and he was not interested. And so there's a lot of people today saying he's a fraud. And I will tell you my thoughts on that later on in the
Who could stand a profit
show.
Off of Colin Kaepernick
but,
takes?
But I will ask you this.
Okay.
It is an interesting weekend of football, of sports.
Sports,
looming,
yes.
Looming upon us.
Despite it being what I would refer to as rehab month, where if you ever see me go to rehab, it's going to be during the month of February, particularly right
gambling
after the Super
rehab,
Bowl.
Because this
just
is the...
everything rehab, like just, you know, like a what I would like to refer to as a life cleanser.
Right, right.
You know, like when you just go through, February is when I'm going to do it because it's the worst. But yes, there are actual legitimately interesting things happening this weekend in the world of sports. Surprise.
And some in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yes.
So let me go through some of these, okay? This is what we have to look forward to this weekend. We've got the Rising Stars Challenge. We've got the skills competition. We've got the All-Star game itself. We've got UT Kentucky.
I'm actually looking forward to that game.
We've got the Alliance of American Football, the home debut of the Memphis Express.
One more opportunity to bet against Christian Hackenberg. This could be our last time, Jeff.
And we've got, you think this could be his last start?
If Christian Hackenberg does exactly what I think he's going to do.
And we've got Memphis versus UCF.
I know.
So, rank them.
For me, in terms of interest, the thing I'm the most interested about.
If you could watch one of these things, you would watch Tennessee, Kentucky.
Correct.
By the way, do you think that it's going to, I asked you the other day, I'll be honest, Tennessee is a weird thing to talk about in sports in Memphis.
Yes.
This city, we know this to be true. This city is not like other cities because we are a melting pot, right? Agreed. We just are. Like, it's not in Buffalo, where I grew up.
It's a Bills town. It's a Sabres town.
It's Bills and Sabres. And there's no great divide over the Bills and Sabres. And that's all there is. It's just the Bills and the Sabres. And you like them and you hate the Patriots. And it's life is simple.
Yes.
Right?
It makes sense.
It all makes sense. In Cleveland, right? In Cleveland. They like the Browns and they like the Cavs and they like, and let's be honest, basically they like Ohio State.
Yes.
There's no.
It's why I don't always feel tremendously sad for Browns fans. You're also Ohio State fans.
Yes. They got Ohio State there and it's everyone acknowledges that there's not a competitive another school in Cleveland that is the equivalent of the University of Memphis that plays big time football.
Yes.
Right? And so there's no divided loyalties. It's just you can get most places their teams are their teams.
Yes.
Here we have this weird situation. The Grizzlies are very clearly, you can dislike particular members of management or dislike decisions they make, but they're our team.
Yes. Right? I think that's the most accepted.
They are our team. There's no reason. You can be, even people who are
Tennessee and Tiger
fans. Disinterested in them. They're just disinterested in them. They don't hate them, right?
Yes.
And then very clearly, the University of Memphis is our second team. But while there is the University of Memphis is our second team, there are some people, Tennessee fans, who, Ole Miss fans, whatever, who roll their eyes and are particularly fond of the University of Memphis. I think most want it to succeed as an institution because they're part of the city, et cetera. But then the real problem is that there's all these Tennessee fans in the city, and there's a lot of them, and Memphis fans tend to hate them.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do we do with Tennessee basketball? They are the number one team in the country.
Not only that, I actually think they're one of the most...
And they're a kind of compelling story.
Well, they're also... They don't have a single top 100 player on their team.
What's not to like about them? They are the equivalent of the Grizzlies of the NCAA.
Well, and also when you watch them play basketball, they are... Like, they are pleasant to watch. Like... They are disciplined.
But here's the
They're
thing.
Physical. They're
all of that's true.
Yeah.
All of that's true. Gary asked me yesterday, because I raised the question of whether more Memphis fans would be rooting for Kentucky. Or who would they be rooting against, right?
Right. Not who they're rooting against the most.
Would they be rooting against Kentucky, or would they be rooting against Tennessee?
Yes.
Obviously, historically, you'd be rooting mostly against Kentucky, given the deep loathing for John Calipari.
Mm-hmm. And especially the way that some of these recruiting battles have gone.
And then you've got that, too. So then, although actually it makes it easier because you win them. It was easier to hate him when Skull left than now. Now you just sort of have pity for them. Not really. So Gary asked me the other day, he said, what's to hate about Tennessee? And I will tell you the answer for Memphis fans, what I believe to be the answer for Memphis fans.
Mm-hmm.
What they hate is Tennessee fans.
Yeah.
They don't hate really Rick Barnes, although they thought he was a little snarky, a little smug, a little snarky around the stuff. But what they really hate is Tennessee. It's the same reason. It's a variation of Nashville hate. What they really hate is the way that Tennessee fans look down at them and the way that Tennessee fans mock them, and they hate Tennessee fans. There's nothing to hate about the University of Tennessee basketball team. What could you possibly hate about it, right? But, for example, I was talking to someone. I was at Otherlands the other day, and I talked to someone. I cannot name this person because whatever. And she was at a conference.
Uh-huh.
She was at a conference with someone. She was on a panel at a conference, and one of the other panelists was from Nashville, the celebrated – nationally celebrated figure was from Nashville. She was on a panel with this person. And she met him in the green room or whatever before the conference. And she said to the, she went over, took upon herself to go over and introduce herself to this person who's nationally celebrated person who's on the panel with her because they're on the panel together. And she said, yeah, and I'm from Memphis. And know what he said?
Oh, that's too bad.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
F you! And then he's half joking, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, well, F you. You know, the person who was on the panel, the person who observed this said, ooh, Whatever. So anyway, and it's a little bit like that with Tennessee fans. You're just sick of Tennessee fans telling you how much, calling you Tiger High.
Right? Yes.
And so the hatred for Tennessee is not really pointed at Tennessee. There's nothing not to like about that Tennessee basketball team. It's simply the, and you can call
it's who
it,
gets to root
you can
for
call
that
it
basketball
a rivalry
team.
Or not, but you don't want, you hate Tennessee fans. Now, right. Mind you, I know Tennessee fans and I like a lot of Tennessee fans. But that's what it's all about. And I actually think that it'll be tough. I think more, if you put this to a vote, Memphis Tiger fans, who do you want to lose this game? More would say Tennessee.
Man, I don't, maybe, but I just think at the end of the day, here's what matters the most about Kentucky hate. It appears that Penny and Cal are going to have more recruiting battles than Penny and Rick Barnes. You have the Cal factor. You want to talk about smug of smug. Name someone more smug than a Kentucky basketball fan.
No, I'm not saying people like Kentucky fans or they like Calipari. I'm just saying that because of the recent brush-up between Memphis and Tennessee, it's fresh in people's minds. Anyone who's on Twitter, anytime Memphis loses a game, you've got Tennessee fans saying, oh, they must be jealous, right? And so the hatred is fresher. It's fresher. I think it would be closer than you think. I think it would be...
Let's put it to a poll.
Could we make a poll?
Yeah, I'm making a poll right now.
Oh, we're going to make a poll. Okay, we're gonna make a poll. You're going to tweet out the poll?
Of course.
If you are a Memphis fan, what is it going to say? If you're a Memphis fan, who do you want to lose Saturday, Tennessee or Kentucky?
That's okay. That's the question that we're exploring.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And we will get an answer to this. The interesting thing is, though, it is a compelling game. Will that in and of itself hurt AAF attendance at the Liberty Bowl? See, I don't know.
I think the weather is going to hurt more than anything, personally.
But will anyone who will have ordinarily gone say, it's the same thing with football. Like football on a Saturday, sometimes people say, you know, I'd like to see Memphis play Blump, but if I stay home, I can watch Blump, 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 right? I can watch all these things.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do. All right, what was the question again we're considering?
If you're a Memphis fan.
As a Memphis fan.
If you are a Memphis fan, comma, who do you want to lose Saturday? Tennessee or Kentucky?
Whom do you want to lose, Craig?
Whom do you want to lose? This is terrible. Or just say, what team? How about this? What team do you want to lose? Just forget that. What team do you want to lose Saturday? Kentucky, Tennessee. Don't even say as a Memphis fan.
Okay.
What team do you want to lose? Will you be rooting against? What team will you be rooting against Saturday? Kentucky or Tennessee? Boom, that's it. What team will you be rooting against?
Very scientific question.
Yep, and it'll be on Twitter here momentarily. I think my prediction is Tennessee wins. Yours is Kentucky wins.
Yes. All right, here we go, and it's live,
and it's now live. All right, we're gonna take a break. You can go to, I'll tweet it out. Jeffrey's tweeting it out. Jason Smith's going to join us next. We have a lot to get to today. We'll break in, of course. What's happened to our emergency?
Again, I told you the Democrats aren't playing
that,
defense.
But they don't get to play defense until he gets the ball first in overtime.
I guess, does he need congressional support?
We'll break in when the emergency breaks out. It's Jeff Gawkins Show back in a moment, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jeff's guests appear on the Memphis Express phone line. Get on board the Express at AAF.com or call 901-881-3344 for tickets. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Sleepy Seas Mattresses and Furniture by Michael Zellner is the place where you will save 50 to 80% off retail store prices every single day of the week. And by the way, listen to that name, Sleepy Seas Mattresses and Furniture. Sure, you can get the best mattresses in the city there, in the world. Let's be honest, Certa Eye Comfort, Simmons Beauty Rest. You can also get furniture, though. Like, if you want any furniture, they have a showroom full of furniture from Signature Design by Ashley and Benchcraft. If they don't find the furniture on that they have on the floor, they have a kiosk full of other options for you to browse through as well. There's a reason it has been named the best mattress store in the city for 2015, 16, 17, and 18. There is a reason that it has more positive customer rating reviews, nearly 500, over the Better Business Bureau than any other Mid-South mattress or furniture company. And in addition, if you mention my name when you go in, you will get an additional 10% off anything in the store. Mention my name, Jeff Calkins. You get an additional 10% off anything in the store. Sleepy Seas Mattresses and Furniture. It's located at 2790 Kirby Witten Road at the corner of Summer Avenue, right next to Hollywood Feed. Give them a call directly at 901-692-6200. Sleepy Seas, that's 901-692-6200. I'm repeating that because my friend Charles says I say the phone numbers too fast sometimes. It's important to say get the phone number.
Mm-hmm.
692-6200.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not above taking constructive criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Sleepy Seas by Michael Zellner, where you never wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Joined now by Jason Smith.
Hello.
I would tell you that he's the better half of the Jason and John show, but when I used to say that, it offended John mortally, and so I don't say that anymore. Now I just say that he's half of the Jason and John show.
And you know it's fine with me.
According to a listener yesterday, he's the white half. That was weird.
Well, he's the brown half.
No, you are. You were the white half. He's the brown half, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
According to one listener.
Yeah, according to one listener.
Yeah,
do you believe that person really believed that?
I don't know. At first, I thought it was, no, I am the white guy, which, you know,
you get a...
At first. And then, no, I think because of the hang-up, I think it was...
You get accused of being white.
Well, I'm half white, Jeff, so, you know, they're halfway accurate, you know?
Right.
Mom's white, so they're halfway accurate.
But is it... Okay, so when
uh-oh, what do I identify with?
Is no, that no, that's not what here? I'm going to say.
Black.
No, what I'm saying is this. When people disagree with me, what they typically...
you don't get put into
what the... What they typically say is you're not from here. Like, they have a fallback thing. You're not... And it basically is, instead of addressing the merits of the argument, they go to your authenticity. You're not from here. You don't understand.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. You
just
get
it can be big
stuff.
You still
get that? You've been here long enough. You don't get
it
anymore.
Literally.
I rarely see that in your
I got it just the other day when
did
I said...
You?
When I said... Now, mind you, it was
damn
Jim.
Yankee?
It was half... It was...
What do they call you?
It was about a very frivolous topic. Hush puppies.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying that hush puppies are overrated, and some people were jokingly, but some people really said this, like, they were totally serious. This is because it proves that you're not here, you're not one of us, you never will be one of us, et cetera.
Yeah.
So when you say something that people disagree with,
well,
do they, some, like, for example, when you criticize Penny for speaking out about Rick Barnes the way he did,
yeah,
which you did,
mm-hmm,
do you get accused of being white?
Get a little bit of it. Yeah, you get the sellout stuff. But listen, I'm not unique to that. I'm not the only one. I think this is fundamentally true. Anytime when we did it with Tubby, there was some of that. You know, get off the black coach, you sellout, that kind of thing. If it's Stephen A. Smith, and he's saying Marvin Lewis should be fired, you will have a faction of African Americans. It's just the case that'll come out and say, whoa. You know, stand up for the brother. Like, hold right. on, you're putting a brother down. And so it's not just me. It's sort of just something we do.
It's well, and it
happens all the time. And
so in fairness, it's also, I mean, I get accused of when I was being tough on, say, Tubby. You get accused of why weren't you this hard on Josh?
Mm-hmm.
Because it really does.
Well,
so much does.
Let's be real too. We're here in Memphis too, where that card's played quite a bit. Is
right.
that race card?
Well, it's
how
not
it,
even a card. It's reality.
In. Yeah. It is. It is. Lots of times it is, and a lot of times we throw it into. A lot of
right.
times it's Clay Travis throwing it into a situation that it doesn't even belong, and we try to stay out of that. You know what
right.
I'm saying? Try to stay out of it. Where it doesn't belong. Where it matters, yes, you face it head on.
Here's one of the things.
That's the best thing.
I didn't mean to get into this, but over at Christian Brothers, they do this all the freshmen read a book, like it's called whatever, College Reads or something, right? All the freshmen, uh-huh. And then they bring in someone to talk about it, and it's sort of this unifying project, whatever. And so they usually pick a book that already exists, and everybody reads it, and whatever. And they, it's a subject of a class or discussion or whatever. And a lot of colleges do it. And this year, because it's the Memphis Bicentennial, they're commissioning a book.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're getting people to write different chapters about civil rights and about Memphis food and about Memphis politics and yep. about Memphis. And they asked me to write the chapter about Memphis sports, which I'm trying to finish today.
Mm-hmm.
But what had occurred to me was I said, I'm going to write.
Tigers and Grizzlies. I think I heard.
I'm going to write about the two great uh-huh. sports fables of. But what's interesting to me is that the two great Memphis stories, the two great, and maybe there are others, but I think they're, and obviously the one is greater than the other. The Larry Finch story and that 72-73 team is the ultimate Memphis sports story, mm-hmm. right? But then the Grizzlies, I think, are what the Grizzlies, the grit and grind Grizzlies, and what they did and the way they sort of transformed the Memphis, think about themselves.
Right.
That's sort of, to me, the second. Like, there are these two great fables. They're almost fables. They're so,
right.
we and what's interesting to me is that they both ultimately are about this whole bringing people thing together and race and all of that, right? Mm-hmm. It's white Mark and black Zeebo, and it's like it's
yeah.
And what's interesting is that if you are a Bills fan or a Patriots fan or a, that's not how the rest of the world looks at sports. They talk about how isn't it nice to give us something to be proud of and rally around and whatever.
Sure.
But they don't look at everything. All the Tom Brady story is not looked at through. Isn't it nice that black and white in New England now all root for the Patriots?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas here our stories are all about, and that's because our civic story is all about race. Really?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yes, it's always been about divide.
About divide.
I think about this, Jeff, and I don't know how much different it is in school today, other than the school that my kid is in. We still sit at separate lunch tables. I mean, for the most part, I know we did when I was in high school, and I don't know about Jeff Wright, but we look, and it's not just for the most part. I mean, there are churches in Memphis that have both, but for the most part, we're separated in that as well. And so I heard you earlier in the stuff Harrington's written is right. Like, it doesn't solve Memphis's problems when it doesn't, you know, there's no after effect. We still go back to our sides of the lunch table after Grizzlies and Tigers win, and you could say it hasn't had an effect. But because we operate on such opposite sides, usually, I think this is part of why John and I's show is actually a success.
A massive success.
Well, I don't know about that yet. Maybe one day. The times that we do come together and we're out there cha-cha sliding on the front of FedEx Forum, we celebrate it and we feel it. And no, yes, we wish we could all bottle it up and take it and solve our school issues and our government issues. Lord knows that. But we can't. We can't. So what we've got to do is take that feeling, right, where we're all cool with each other and apply it to that. We don't do it. We do apply it to sports. And here it matters because, again, we're operating in separate corners so often. We'd love for it to be different. And I think time eventually will heal, but we're one of the slower cities when it comes to that. We always have been. And there's, you know.
Wendy Thomas wrote a story in the Undefeated about how whenever the Grizzlies go on this run, it brings people together. And it's
uh-huh.
it's something we just tell ourselves to feel good about ourselves, and it's not real. I acknowledge that it doesn't. Listen,
It can't solve a problem.
You have to acknowledge the limitations of this.
No question.
We had busing to supposedly desegregate our schools in the early 70s, and then we just resegregated ourselves.
Exactly.
You know, we just totally resegregated. Like, no one's pretending. But here's what what's interesting is that, so in 1972-73, that was the year the Tigers obviously went to the Final Four. It's also the year, 73 is also the year that Billie Jean King beat Bobby Riggs in tennis,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
That did not solve sexism. It did not create equal pay for men and women. It did not.
It's symbolic.
It's symbolic.
That's what we're talking about. Yeah. I mean, you can't be hyperbolic with this stuff. And I think sometimes people tend to roll their eyes when we're talking about this because they want us.
Let's get to the real problems.
I don't
problems.
Feel like doing this.
Right.
Yeah, let's fix the real problems. And so, but when we talk about it, we talk about it. And when we talk about all dancing out there and the feeling you get now we're all together, it's symbolic and it's what we. would like to be all the time around here. It,
right.
It's that city we'd love to be.
Right.
The city we're striving to be. We are.
Okay, we
I
have.
I think we're getting better.
We I appreciate you showing up in the despite the state of emergency that prevails on our country.
I was scared to come out of the house today.
And but you're here. It just speaks to the courage. Well, everyone at the station, honestly, is Eric coming today?
I believe I will be hosting today. Eric, I believe.
There we go.
I think sound the alarm.
Sound the alarm.
He stayed home at
now,
Southwind.
It could be. It could be. Eric is in such a state of disarray that he needs to go and find safety.
Oh, he's fled.
Yes.
He's fled.
I'm not ruling
it's the
out.
The All-Star break, so he's fled. Yeah,
so he's
I get
probably
that.
In Mexico
I get that.
Or someone vacation,
yeah, exactly.
Right?
He's
listen, we all grieve in our own way.
In your final moments, in your final moments on Earth, you spend them however you possibly
however
can
you
before
possibly
the
can.
Before the
I'm unarmed, okay. Which is maybe a bad thing.
We commissioned a poll.
I heard about this.
The poll was interesting. Who will you be rooting against? And I don't want to create another divide, but this is the real
you're
one that does exist. Who
Mom
will you
mentality.
Be rooting against on Saturday? Tennessee or Kentucky? Jeffrey, what are the current results of the poll?
Through 17 minutes of voting, 58% will be rooting against Kentucky.
Yeah. How many have voted?
345 have voted.
Already?
That's a good clip. Y'all just put this poll up.
We put it up like two minutes ago.
I think you guys hit the A here. There's a good possibility here. I think people look forward to like hating in this game. Whichever side you want to hate most, that's kind of why we're watching
so,
here.
So wait, it's
plenty of all.
There's also been some great gifts in response to this,
including what?
Including for all the nerds out there, there is a gif of Thanos, hopefully killing everyone. And then there's a Tony Stark gif. Why can't it be both? Then there's been some UT jersey popping. There have been some philosophical questions about whether or not the Kentucky hate is directed at Kentucky or just at Cal.
Here we have some. What the best case scenario for
Memphis fans in this?
They
like,
both lose.
Well, there's no way they can't lose. They can't both lose. Like what is okay? So let's just
you want Kentucky to win and a couple of Tennessee players get tossed or something and if it goes into the next game. You know what I mean? Like if you can get bad on both sides. I don't know. No, you're just picking.
If you want, okay, let's think about this. If you want Kentucky to lose,
I imagine that's what
it's simply because of Cal. And sitting at the kids' table, and some can say we're immature for holding on to that.
Hey, and what they did to DJ, trying to say you didn't want him afterwards. You know, throw that in there,
right.
Too.
Yeah, right. Yeah. What Kentucky fans said about Memphis on the message boards during the Wiseman recruitment and whatever, F them, right? So
got all kind of reasons.
So that's –
not like Kentucky.
And other people say that they have historically not liked Kentucky. Kentucky's easy to not like because they're great. Right? Like, you always tend to hate the – I don't think there's hated as Duke.
My dad didn't like them because it's Rupp.
Oh, there you go. There was that, too.
I naturally find – I mean him, you know. And so me and growing up, naturally kind of root against him. And, you know, plus I liked the Arkansas guys anyway, so they – you know, you hated Kentucky as that rival.
Okay, how about Tennessee now? Well, you don't like Tennessee because of the way Tennessee fans have acted about Penny.
No question.
Right?
Well, yeah. I mean, they've rubbed it in a little bit too much, I would say.
Right. Who is the bigger just in terms of the program?
You're one. Like, come on.
In terms of the program, if your goal is, and I don't, all this is just at the margin. None of it really matters. It's mostly just fun. But in terms of the program, you want Memphis, if you want, are a Memphis fan and you want Memphis to succeed, I think actually you want Kentucky to win. Because Kentucky's always going to be this colossus, right? Whatever happens tomorrow, they're going to be this colossus. Mm-hmm. And Penny's going to have to go up against Cal, and he'll either win or lose, but like for players, et cetera, right?
Okay.
But they're always going to be this colossus, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest. I think if you're Memphis, you've always been able to get anyone you wanted against Tennessee, basically. You've beaten them for everybody.
Yeah.
Because Tennessee basketball, in the grand scheme of things, has not been particularly
meaningful. Doesn't have the tradition in history.
I don't think – I'm not saying this is for me personally, but I'm saying for Memphis fans, I don't think you want Tennessee to become a colossus. Because then they might actually be able to come in, and then you're competing against someone who you really didn't really have to – if you're talking honestly, you didn't have to compete against before. And now, is it – if Rick Barnes – let's say he wins a national title this year. Is he become a real threat to come in and take players out of Memphis, whereas he wasn't before?
No.
You still don't think so?
No. I'm still rooting against Kentucky. Are you kidding me? I was buying it there for me. You had me. You saw my eyes widening.
You don't want them to become a monster.
They won't. Well, I mean, do we really think this will be, you know, that the next, that Barnes will build into this monster that all of a sudden becomes a factory and the next coach comes in and can take it to
the when Barnes is there, that there will be a factor that they had not been before.
Let me say this. I fully respect what Rick Barnes has done. I've said it on our show multiple times. I think it's magic what he's done. Right. And now he's got five stars coming in there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's been the perfect storm. It's been a combination of his coaching, a combination of getting the right, you know, guys with chips on their shoulders outside the top 100. You put it all together with him, it all worked, and now it's rolling a little bit. But you'd have to keep this thing going for 5-6 years. Tennessee basketball,
even the next four.
A colossus.
Who's the kid?
No.
Who are the best players coming out of Memphis in the next few years? Who's the kid from? Is it Whitehaven?
It's Matthew Morrill.
Okay.
Plus, they're on his 7-foot-4 teammate,
too. Isn't Tennessee on Matthew Morrill?
Yeah, they want to be.
Okay.
They want to be.
And don't you
and
think?
And they're on his teammate, Jordan Wilmore, the 7-footer, 7-foot-4 kid.
Is Memphis interested in when he can barely move up and down the court.
Well,
his hands are like mine.
Well, that's what Memphis has to decide. You and I have talked about this. Even Tennessee coming in making the offer, it puts pressure on Memphis because then all of a sudden it looks like
they don't want him.
They're getting players out. And besides, if they get him, well, he's teammates with Morrill, they think they've got a track there too. So Barnes pushed his, you know, put his foot in there and said,
I'm going to go ahead and start this up and see what we can get.
So if you're Memphis, you have to decide whether or not to get in that, whether or not he's worth it.
Isn't Matthew Morrill a reason in and of himself to root for Kentucky to beat Tennessee, because you don't want Tennessee to be successful because you don't want them to get – forget, I'm not talking about 10 years of great of ten, Tennessee
it
greatness.
Take, it would take I'm talking that about, before Memphis kids looked at Tennessee and said, man, that's better than what Penny Hardaway's got going at Memphis. It would take 5 to 10 years of Tennessee operating at a Sweet 16 national championship level of that. Do you really think Barnes is going to do it that long? He may. But what I don't think is that the next guy necessarily is going to come in.
Rick Barnes was able to get Kevin Durant out of Washington, D.C. Like, he's not an
And what did he do with it ultimately?
Nothing, but he got
him. Exactly, and that was all. And so he's got so this team looks like it will break through.
Right.
He didn't get that done in the latter years in Texas. I don't know what makes us think all of a sudden now for consistently he's going to make deep runs.
Right.
What's the difference now? He's a great coach then.
If you're a Tennessee fan, if you're a Memphis fan, you worry.
I mean, it's a.
What's our update?
Tennessee won't become.
Break into the president?
Oh, let's break into the president. Is he talking now?
Boy. Yes.
Hold on. Here's the emergency.
Many billions of dollars pouring into our treasury. We've never had that before with China. It's been very much of a one-way street.
Jason.
So that's happening,
we'll see. We're just going to listen to a little bit of the president. It's an emergency, people.
But I think they finally respect our country.
He's addressing the nation.
They haven't respected us
Remember
for a long time.
Remember where you were.
Shh. Not for a long time. The UK and the US, as you probably have been seeing and hearing, we're agreeing to go forward and preserve our trade agreement. You know all of the situation with respect to Brexit and the complexity and the problems, but we have a very good trading relationship with UK, and that's just been strengthened
further. When are we getting to the emergency,
further.
Jeffrey?
So with the UK, we're continuing our trade, and we are going to actually be increasing it very substantially as time goes by. We expect that the UK will be.
Where's the emergency?
Says Trump to declare national emergency. Sign border deal.
As it relates to trade with the United States, the relationship there also is very good.
60 seconds.
Okay, here we go. This is going to emerge.
We have a lot of great announcements having to do with Syria and our success with the eradication of the caliphate. And that'll be announced over the next 24 hours.
Get to the emergency.
And many other things. A lot of positive things are going on. We're working on a summit. And you know all about the summit. It'll be in Vietnam, Hanoi. And we'll be meeting in Hanoi. I think a lot of you will be going, I suspect. And I hope we have the same good luck as we had in the first summit. A lot was done in the first summit. No more rockets going up, no more missiles going up, no more testing of nuclear. Get back our remains, the remains of our great heroes from the Korean War.
I'm about to bail on this if you don't get to the emergency.
but we hope we're going to be very much equally as successful. I'm in no rush for speed. We just don't want testing. The sanctions, as you know, remain. Everything is remaining. China's been helping us.
All right,
and
the hell
Russia's
with
been helping.
I hear no emergency.
I hear no emergency either, but says he's to declare it.
All right, we're going to come back in just a minute. I do want to tell you that C Spire can help you out in case of emergency. Let's be honest, we have our own. It is sort of an emergency here in terms of if you want to be a leader in technology, you need help. And C Spire is coming to the aid of the region. We cannot compete for tech jobs of the future without proper resources or training. That's where C Spire is chipping in. They're teaming up with high schools and public partners to give teachers the training and resources they need to teach computer science in the classrooms. They're also setting up coding programs, competitions to give students the opportunity to pursue careers they never thought were possible. And because high-speed internet technology is the foundation for economic development, C Spire is on a mission to deliver managed information technology services to more businesses across the region. The future is out there, and the C Spire tech movement is leading the way. Join the movement at cspire.com/tech, T-E-C-H-M-V-M-T. That's tech movement. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll tell you who we hate more, Tennessee or Kentucky. So far, Kentucky's in the lead. Chris Harrington's going to join us at 10 o'clock. It's Jeff Calkins' show here on this day of emergency, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Jeff's guests appear on the Memphis Express phone line. Get on board the Express at AAF.com or call 901-881-3344 for tickets. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Slinking, slinking floors. If your floors are sinking or sloping just a little bit, you got cracks in the walls of your home. You're sitting there and you're having your morning cup of coffee and you're noticing. You're saying, you know what? I hear Calkins talking all the time about Redeemers Group. Martha, let's call Redeemers Group and just get them out here and have this checked out. Or maybe water's been coming into your basement or your crawl space or your garage. I hear Calkins talking about this. Let's call and get it checked out. 541-8765, 541-8765 is the number you will then call. That's Redeemers Group. It's a local company that's been serving Memphis and the Mid-South for more than a decade. They will send an expert to your home. They will analyze the situation. Maybe say, hey, this isn't a real problem. Don't worry about it. You're sound. You guys, you're structurally solid. Don't worry. And that's great. Or maybe they will, maybe they'll say, yeah, you got a small problem here. We'll fix it for you. And they will they'll give you an estimate. You mentioned my name, Jeff Calkins. You get an additional $50 off if you want to proceed. The point is, there's no sense worrying about this stuff. It doesn't cost you a single penny to have the experts at Redeemers Group come out and size up the situation. Again, give them a call, 541-8765, 541-8765. Or on the web, redeemersgroup.com. Jeffrey, we have a poll up, thanks to your quick work. It is, what team will you be rooting against on Saturday, Tennessee or Kentucky? The current state of the poll is?
Through 32 minutes of voting.
How many votes recorded?
519 votes have been recorded. 58% will be rooting against Kentucky, while 42% will be rooting against Tennessee.
Okay, now I have some questions about that.
Okay,
to go to some of these responses. How about Cal gets ejected and Tennessee loses? That's one. Pooh Hefner says the survey is being distorted by the Vol fans living in Memphis.
Ah. So he thinks that it's
they are rooting. No, he says they're the ones who are rooting for. They're saying they're rooting for Kentucky. It is true. We do have. We do have among our followers Tennessee fans. I hear from them, and they're rooting against Kentucky. So we didn't because we didn't focus it just on Memphis fans. Okay, then
the
we have.
The poll is going to be distorted no matter what.
Although here's Brandon Bumgarner. Mm-hmm. You know Brandon. He's he of the big belly.
Yes.
And big enthusiasm. I'm sorry. Although I hate Cal, I will never cheer for the Vols. Wayne Spiceland, want UT to lose always. Grew up in Nashville and no fruit sucks like the Big Orange.
Mm-hmm.
Loathing for UT basketball, fueled by the obnoxious Ray Mears and his pregame parade around. It's deeply embedded, his Vol hate. Mm-hmm. Mem Jim sidelines. Okay? There's one. If Cal isn't at Kentucky, Memphis fans really wouldn't care about Kentucky, let's be honest. I think that's true.
Yes, I would agree. But
he is at Kentucky.
Yes, yes.
Born in Kentucky, so have blue in veins. Hate Orange and UT fans. That's Mike Edmondson. So that makes sense. Conway's little brother. Not rooting for either one. Going to sit back and see who wins, then troll the losers.
I like that.
At least he's honest.
That is about, a man that just wants to watch the world burn.
About his
That's
approach.
My kind of people.
Here's my reasoning. UT-Memphis rivalry goes back decades. Kentucky is only because of Cal. I despise both, but history trumps all. So he's going to be rooting against Tennessee because it goes back decades.
While I agree with that fundamental point,
I don't really think Memphis hates Memphis. Memphis doesn't hate Tennessee basketball. Memphis hates Tennessee. Here's Philip Haley. I hate Tennessee fans, but I hate the University of Kentucky basketball program. Cal sucks. Plus, I would rather lose by 10 points in a hard-fought game against the number one team in the nation and them keep winning. In other words, because they played them, does it make them look Memphis look better if Tennessee wins?
Why does saying someone just sucks as a person, like, it's so funny to me. I don't know why, but it's just.
Sucks is such a crass word. Marcus. Marcus says, we don't have to live with Kentucky fans like Vol fans, so he will be rooting against Tennessee. Darren McDonald. There's no team I hate more than UT. I was listening, and this is hard. Can't root for Tennessee. On Twitter, I've got more people rooting against Chris Berkey, whose father loves me. It's Kentucky. When you hate both, you default to home state benefit. Plus, that's the best fit Memphis's net and KenPom rating. Best for Memphis's. There you go.
That's of course, a good point.
Memphis's. The problem is Memphis's KenPom rating doesn't really matter because they're not getting a.
They have to win the tournament.
Yeah, because they're not getting a. I will hate Calipari and Kentucky forever. We'll root for Tennessee. Go Vols. That's Deborah Harklow. I'm pulling for Kentucky to beat UT. Anyway, et cetera. It's very interesting. And there's a lot of hate. There's a lot of hate floating. Oh, is the president still talking?
He is indeed.
Hold on. We got an emergency. Go ahead. We're going to see what he's gotten to it. Go ahead.
And I'd love you to declare it a lethal drug and put it on your criminal list. And their criminal list is much tougher than our criminal list. Their criminal list, a drug dealer gets a thing called the death penalty. Our criminal list, a drug dealer gets a thing called... How about a fine? And when I asked President Xi, I said, do you have a drug problem? No, no, no. I said, you have 1.4 billion people. What do you mean you have no drug problem? No, we don't have a drug problem. I said, why? Death penalty. We give death penalty to people that sell drugs. End of problem. What do? We set up a blue ribbon committees. Lovely men and women. They sit around a table, they have lunch, they eat, they dine, and they waste a lot of time. So if we want to get smart, we can get smart. You can end the drug problem. You can end it a lot faster than you think. But President Xi's agreed to put fentanyl on his list of deadly drugs. And it's a criminal penalty, and the penalty is death. So that's, frankly, one of the things I'm most excited about in our trade deal. You want to know the truth? I think maybe there's no more.
Okay, never mind.
He has said.
He wants to build.
He said, I'm going to sign a national emergency over border wall.
Okay. That has happened. There is going to be a national emergency over the border wall. And there we go. You know the good thing about all this?
What's that?
I was going through the airport yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
they're getting paid again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, whatever. This will play out in the courts the way it plays out in the courts. Many, you know, it'll be challenged and whatnot. But the good thing is that the people at TSA and the people who work for the federal government, people at the IRS, they will be paid. They will be getting their money, and this stuff can play out the way that it will, play out. What's our poll now?
All right. So if we look at the updated standings, if you will. We now have 576 votes, and it is still at 58% will be rooting against Kentucky, while 42% will be rooting against Tennessee.
Who wins?
In the game or
in the game?
In the poll. I still think Tennessee is the most solid team that the most solid team.
You think Tennessee? Now, some obviously, well, right now they're going to be in different sides of the bracket, right?
Oh, yes.
So you think.
And yes, I am well aware that Tennessee beat.
You think Tennessee Duke national championship game?
Yeah, those are the two teams that I think have been the best two teams all year.
Yeah, that yes, but there's just single games. Who the hell knows?
Yes,
right?
It's a tournament. It's a tournament. It's 40 minutes. And
Wisconsin beat Kentucky. Like it's they weren't as good.
Yes,
like it's a tournament. It is fun. I will say Tennessee fans, and I know it's not popular to say this, have suffered enormously over their football program.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just it's been awful. It has been awful, and I don't know that it's like they had a pretty good recruiting year, but I don't know how much better it's going to get quickly when you look at what like Florida had a good recruiting year.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia had a tremendous recruiting year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know when Tennessee football is going to be Tennessee football again. I think it's nice that they get Tennessee basketball. Don't you?
Yeah.
And honestly, let's be honest. Women's basketball isn't what it once was.
No, I mean, like for the first time ever, they lost five straight games, and then I think they continued to keep losing. And I mean, you're right.
It's an admirable team. This just comes down to people can say what they want about there not being a rivalry, right? They can say there's not a rivalry. They can say all they want, there's not a rivalry. There is very clearly, when we live so close together, Tennessee fans and Memphis fans in the same city, there's very clearly a rivalry among the fan bases. It's just undeniably true. Don't you believe that to be true?
Yes.
Yes, there's very clearly. And there's not a football rivalry. Memphis beat them once. Like, I'm not. But in between the institutions, there is very clearly a rivalry. Chris Harrington is going to us next. He's going to join us next. We'll talk NBA. We'll talk about the All-Star Weekend and all manner of other things. He has a mailbag up over at Daily Memphian, which I urge you to read. It's Jeff Calkins Show. Back in a moment, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.